Romans 7 says this. It says, I can anticipate with the response that is coming. Now, this is the Apostle Paul talking to the people in Rome, and he is saying, he is speaking to them as he goes into these quotes. He's saying, I know what you are about to say to me as I plead with you to carry on the gospel, to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. I know what you're about to say to me. Here's some of the sayings that you're saying, open quote. I know that all God's commandments are spiritual, but I am not. Isn't this also your experience, Paul? And Paul's answer is, yes, I am full of myself. Come on, look at your neighbor right there and say, Apostle Paul's full of himself. There's room for me too. Come on. We got to get rid of some of this, but the Apostle Paul, I think he's identifying with him. I think he's saying, I've been in this place in my life where I've been full of myself too. I currently am still full of myself. If you're not full of yourself, who are you full with, right? We have to live with ourselves. He says, after all, I've spent a long time in sin's prison. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another, doing things I absolutely despise. So if I can't be trusted to figure out what is best for myself and then do it, it becomes obvious that God's command is necessary for me. But I need something more. Everyone say more. I need something more than myself. For if I know the law, but I still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. Can anybody identify up in here? I need some help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as these are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me, and it gets the better of me every single time. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin's there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's command, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. I want it to. I'm asking it to. But there's parts of me that just refuses to go with me, right? He says, parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. Verse 24, check this out. I've tried everything, and nothing helps. I've tried everything under the sun to fix this problem, and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my ropes. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question we ask? I look back at what he says just in verse 20. He says, something has gone wrong deep within me, and it gets the better of me every time. This is the question that we have all asked ourselves before. Everyone in this room shares something in common with Apostle Paul, including myself, and that is this: what's going on that even when I want to do right, I do wrong? And even when I don't want to do wrong, I still can't choose to do right. I get it right sometime, but there seems to be this battle going on within me. Is there anyone who can help? I've tried doctors. I've tried counselors. I've tried good advice. I've tried horoscopes. I've tried it all. I need some help. I need some help. Here's how we start this series. I am three, and here's the first title I give you: Understanding the Three Inside of Me. Come on, let's pray together. God, we thank you that we are made in your image. And Father, we want to shine the way you shine. You're a good, good Father. You are in love with us. You've given us your Son to die for us. You've equipped us with your Holy Spirit to walk this thing out. Father, I pray, Father, for harmony to rise up inside of us, God, the type of harmony that only comes from your incredible work. Father, we exalt you and we lift you up in this place. I pray that, Father, you would use me and that, Father, your word would speak life into every one of us in Jesus' name. And everyone who agrees with that can say amen and amen. See, I grew up in the type of Christian church where I knew God was important. I knew that this God was important because we had to go once a week to church. And so that told me that this God is important. And my parents put me in a Christian school. And the thing that I learned most, maybe it was because I had nuns for teachers. And they were sometimes meaner than the lay teachers, okay? And they had sticks and they sometimes threatened you to send you to the principal's office, who, by the way, was another nun. And you're just like, anyone who's got a stick and is wearing a veil like that scares me, but they love God. And that's what I'm learning. That's what I'm learning. This is my education. It's probably not everyone's education, but I can remember that what they're trying to tell me is that I'm supposed to be good. Like, do good things. And what I took from this is that good people go to heaven, and so I wanted to be good. Here's the problem. Didn't matter if I was at Christian school or not at Christian school. This is what I learned, because I was in public school from sixth grade on. This is what I learned. There's not a lot of people around me who are looking to do good. In fact, most people around me are looking to do as bad as they can do without getting totally annihilated for doing it, right? Like, how bad can I be without losing my girlfriend? How bad can I be without getting expelled? How bad can I be without my parents tearing me up? How bad can I be? It just seemed like there's not many people who are showing up every day saying, "What's up, Drew? How good can we be today?" Right? Those are the weird ones. Those are the loners, right? And so you're just like, you don't really fit in if you just try to do the good things. So I started like trying to figure out, how bad can I be while still being good? Like, here's the measure of good people, bad people, right? And so how do I get right about here? Like, how bad can I be and still be good to where if I'm this bad, it'll kill me? God's going to send me to hell. I want to go right here, and I want to live right here. That way I fit in. People think that I'm cool, and I'm still not, like, weird, but I'm not, like, totally making God mad. And I don't know if any of y'all had those experiences before where you just, like, listen, I know some of this isn't bad, but or some of this isn't right, but it's not as bad as bad, and at least I'm not as bad as him. Come on, you know right now. Some of y'all know people in this room that you're thinking as you grew up, you're like, at least I'm not as bad as them. Yeah. If they're going to heaven, I'm definitely going to heaven, right? You ever thought those feelings before? Like, he's going to hell. All right, and yeah, some of you thought that before. He's definitely going to hell, but I'm not as bad as that, right? So I had this minimalist approach, and eventually I learned and I gave my life to God. I truly had a new experience. I had what the Bible calls being born again. The old life gone, the new come. I'm going to be victorious in this thing, right? I'm going to walk with him. But the problem is, I've learned that even when I wanted to do good, there was still a fight compelling me to do bad. Shock and awe. Hold on to your seat. But right when I gave my life to the Lord, do you know that I had the intentions not to curse anymore? And I still cuss sometimes. Hold on to your seat. I know, this is your pastor talking during pastor's appreciation time. Like, I knew at this point, sex is bad. Don't do it. And I still had moments where the wheels started going. You know what I mean? I'm like, you're like, oh, him? I knew I needed to prioritize Sunday, make that like a big deal, start studying the word. But there were times where I was like, there's a great opportunity and I can't miss it. And by the way, God wants me to sleep and recharge, and I need sleep, and Sunday's my only time to sleep in. I still had these fights going on inside of me. And I know that those fights exist in you and I, just some of us are better at hiding them than others. I'm just going to stand up on the stage and expose them, because I'm aware there's something going on inside of me that still battles me even to today. And the Apostle Paul says, I know, I get it. Something is deeply wrong with me. What is going on? And here's the answer. You can write this down. The three inside of me are all out of key. The three inside of me are all out of key. What am I talking about, the three inside of me? You saying there's three people inside of me? Yeah, you're not bipolar, you're tripolar. I don't even know if that's the correct word. And maybe some psychologists and counselors would refute me and say, you used that incorrectly. I probably did. Don't quote that. But you've got three things going on inside of your life. We are made in the image of God. And God, there's three distinct parts of him. There's the Father, there's the Son, there's the Holy Spirit. There's three in one. They're inseparable. They're distinguishable, but inseparable. And it's just something mysterious about them. But the fact of the matter is that is our God. Our one God is three gods, but our three God is one God. It's hard to explain. That's not today's message. But the same thing is true inside of you and I, that God has put three inside of us. What are those three? Look at 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 23. It says this, Paul's final greeting to the Thessalonians. He says this, now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Come on, let's make a choir out of this. Say that with me. Your whole spirit and soul and body. Let's do it again. Our whole spirit and soul and body. May all of that be kept blameless until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. This is any pastoral's aspirations for anyone, including you and including me. This is my heart. If you say, what do you and Lauren want? Here's what we would love more than anything else. That your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless. But the problem is, something's gone wrong inside of me. There's still this fight inside of me, as much as you love the Lord, that no matter what, when you wake up tomorrow, doesn't matter if you love the Lord more than anybody else in this room, there's still a fight waiting for you tomorrow. It's because there's this harmony that needs to be set in right standing inside of me. We have three going on, and so it gets complicated. Look at your neighbor and say, it gets complicated. Come on. Come on. Anytime three's involved, it gets complicated. Some of y'all in high school know what I'm talking about, right? Who you dating, it's complicated. And I need to set you straight right now. You need to get that thing right. Okay, anyway, it's not my message. Not my message. What are these three? Well, he says the spirit, the soul, and the body. Here's number one, the body. The body is our tangible, it's our temporal, it's our external. Here's the part you need to write down. World conscious part of us. I need to do a little teaching to set us up for the next 3 weeks, okay? If it's all right for me to do a little teaching, say it's okay, Pastor Drew, bring it. All right, this is our tangible. This is what we see in one another. Now, we need to understand that this stuff is temporal. So, side note, I don't know why we'd make such a big deal about this stuff. I don't understand why we would isolate some people because theirs looks different than mine. Because this is all temporal. This is not eternal. This isn't going to be what we look at and what we experience in heaven. So I've got mine and you've got yours, and we're all in this thing together. We are called to love one another and to serve one another and to be for one another, because this is all temporary. In fact, our God wants to know what we're going to do with this temporary body to make sure that we bring glory and honor to God. And so what is the body? It's the five senses. It's sight, smell, taste, it's hearing, it's touch. And so these senses all have appetites. It's not just the taste that has an appetite. Oh, I got an appetite right now for an amazing crab cake over at Green Turtle. Yeah, I got one of those. But it's not just that appetite. My eyes have appetites too. My ears have appetites too, right? What you dialing up on Spotify, what you putting on Apple Tunes Music, what are you dialing up on YouTube? It's because your ears have appetites, right? Like our hands start to get appetites, right? And these can be good, and they can be bad, and we have to choose how we're going to use them. It's what we see and look at. It's what we hear and listen to, smell and are drawn towards, touch and long for, taste and desire. Now, the body is so temporal, it says this in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7. Remember God before the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. This is Solomon's advice. He says, remember God before this stuff that you see here, it's all temporary. It was made from dust, and it's going to return from dust. In fact, if you want to get all biblical, in Genesis, every single man is made from dust. And I'm convinced, even though women are made from ribs, my wife must be made from my prime rib, okay? That's what I'm just saying. Because, and so, I don't know. She's going to return to prime rib. I'm going to return to dust. That's not biblical. But anyway, I love you, honey. All of this is temporary. It's all going to go away. And so, just as it says that the dust returns to the ground it came from, we need to be mindful that we cannot live for the body's wishes, because it comes from this earth and it will return to this earth. This body will not visit you or travel with you into heaven's journey. But look, then it says, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. So the second one is this, the spirit. The spirit is the intangible, eternal, internal, God-conscious part of us. Now, what was the body again? The body was the world-conscious. I'm very aware of the world I live in and the surroundings around me because of my body. My spirit is what brings God consciousness inside of me. I can't see your spirit and you can't see my spirit. Sometimes we could maybe see it through behavior, but it's intangible. I can't put my hands on it. It's eternal and it's given by God. The Bible says this, the spirit returns to God who gave it. Which means that the spirit came from God, the one that you possess, came from God, and it will return to God. Now, I'll break it down a little bit more in the next few weeks, but this spirit does not have to be a capital S spirit. This spirit inside of us can be captivated and inhabited by the Holy Spirit if you so choose, or you can allow it vacated for other spirits. We'll get into that a little bit more, but this whole spirit side of us is made up of three main parts. It's our conscience, it's our intuition, and it's our fellowship. What do I mean by that? Our conscience is just us knowing us. Sometimes you don't need somebody else to tell you this is a dumb idea. I just know myself, and there's something inside of me telling me this is a dumb idea. There can be this conscience, us knowing us. There can also be intuition, which is us knowing God. Once again, whether the Holy Spirit's living inside of me or not, I know. I knew without a shadow of a doubt before I was married. Sex before marriage was wrong. It just, my body was more interested in saying, hey, shut up, Spirit. And so I had some issues. Don't know if I'm the only one in here who's experienced those kinds of things. It's because my body was out of harmony. And so the spirit wants to help us know God. So the conscience is us knowing us. The intuition is us knowing God. And the fellowship, I love this, is us knowing God and God knowing us. It when we worship, it can be the spirit inside of us that we want to connect with the most. It's God, I want you to know me wholly. Like W-H-O-L-Y or L-L-Y, whichever one it is, you look it up. And it's also me knowing God wholly, right? And so that's what fellowship is. It's not necessarily the arms raised. It's not necessarily the voice lifted. It is the spirit inside of us using the body to connect with God. That's why our body has to be in submission to the Holy Spirit. And so when we say lift our hands, sometimes all we're saying is, some say, well, I don't think we need to lift our hands in church. And I don't know if I actually have to sing. One thing I do know, which I'll point out, is that the body needs to take commands from the Spirit, not the Spirit taking commands from the body. And so sometimes the Spirit needs to say, lift up holy hands in the sanctuary and offer a praise, a sweet-smelling incense to me. And it requires my tongue to listen and say, yes, sir. It requires my hands to say, I surrender to you calling the shots, versus my body going, I don't feel like it. I'm tired. Deal with it. Sometimes our spirit longs to engage, and I wonder if we're not the ones that hold it back. And we can say, I don't know if I feel God. Well, maybe part of it is telling the body, you don't call the shots around here. The spirit inside, the fellowship part, desires something more. And so I'm going after something more. Come on. It's the perceiving of God part. And then number three is the soul. This also is an intangible, internal, self-conscious part of us. Our body is world conscious. Our spirit is God conscious. Our soul is self-conscious. This is the seat of man. This is what brings out the personality in us. This, I'll talk about it next week, is what God will judge you and I on when we appear in heaven. He's not going to judge you on the body. He's not going to judge you on the spirit. He's going to judge you on the soul, because the soul gets to call the shots. The soul is ultimately if you're going to go right or if you're going to go left, if you're going to go up or if you're going to go down, because it is the soul that owns three things: the mind, the will, and the emotions. The second one's the most important, the will that says, I will do this and I won't do that. So the spirit might say, let's worship, and the will says, not today, ain't gonna happen. The spirit might say, don't go there, and the will says, but it's gonna be popping and I'm going anyway, right? It is the will that is the gate for who we become, how we behave, and the personality that we have inside of us. It is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Genesis 2, verse 7 says this: God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. There it is. You got the flesh, the dust of the ground. And then he breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, which is the spirit. And then watch what happens. When the two collide, guess what happens? Man became a living soul. There's three things, let me get that right, three things that's going on here. It's when a flesh collides with the spirit, it produces another internal a part of us, and that is a soul. The soul is different from the spirit. And it's what happens. The two of them are wrestling on the inside, and we got the body that's just trying to take call some shots from the outside. And so what does the three parts look like? It looks like this: the intellect, the thoughts, and the reason. That's what our mind is, our intellect, thoughts, and reason. Our will is our decisions and choices and our willpower. And our emotions is feeling and remembering. All right, so I'll share more on this on that in the next 2 weeks. But here's what I wanted to set up, some basic definitions. Because you've got three inside of you. Now, two inside of you, one's on the outside. And all three of them are jockeying for the seat of power to call the shots, to decide whether you say yes, whether you say no, whether you get angry, whether you stay calm, whether you exhibit patience, whether you wake up early and read your word, or whether you sleep in. All three are trying to call the shots. And this is what Paul is saying. It's like I've got voices in my head. There's a wrestling match. Even though my spirit wants to keep the law, there's something battling on the inside of me that seems to be covertly rebelling against me. What's wrong with me? And he goes on to say that, is there anyone who could save us from this? And we know the answer, but I'm not there yet. This is how the God created order. Look at Genesis 2, verse 7 again. God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. There's threeness in God, and there's also, he designs threeness in us. Now, I don't know if you've ever listened to a song before and heard the same song. Like, any of y'all grew up with that song, you know, you were in crazy music classes and your teacher's like, let's sing Row, Row, Row Your Boat, right? And and then the coolest thing happens, right? They go, this half of the room is going to wait and this half of the room is going to start. And so you're going to go, come on this half, row, row, row your boat. Come on this half, let's go, row, row, row your boat. You're not participating this morning, Lift Church. Let's go. You're holding me up. Row, row, row your boat. Gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life. Okay, keep going. Come on, keep going. Row, row, row. Wait for it. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Keep going. Y'all quit. Y'all can't quit. You're like, my spirit's saying this is too childlike. Okay, I get it. But listen, listen. Oh, man. Yesterday, I'm hanging out with my two little girls. All the women are gone to a women's conference. My oldest girl got to go. It was amazing. And we're sitting there, and they watched this movie called Spirit, horse thing. Come on, who wants to give it up for Spirit? You know, it's all about horses. Horses are amazing. They're the greatest thing under the sun. Every girl believes so. And they start playing this song, like, I'm unstoppable, you know, and they're playing this song on YouTube, and it's just going, you're gonna hear me above the clouds, I'm unstoppable now, you're gonna see me above the sky, you know, and listen, all three of us start singing because Amia's iPad is going with, I'm unstoppable. Well, Gianna thinks that's great, and she's like, I could dial up the same song, and so she starts it too, and then in the background, I'm hearing two different versions, and I start acting like you guys. I go from all three of us united, singing together, we're unstoppable. Come on, give me a fake mic all day long. Come on, we're having fun. And then all of a sudden, there's another tune, and we're going, and you're just like, which one are we following, right? That's what happens to you and me. On the inside, we're going, which one are we going with? You want this, but spirit wants this, but soul wants this. Which one are we going with? What's wrong with me? I feel like there's this battle on the inside. Sometimes I do right, but sometimes I do wrong. The problem is that the three inside of me are all out of key. Now, when we get those two iPads synced up, oh, we're back to air singing it all. Come on. I'm unstoppable. Come on. And we are unstoppable if we get this thing right and synced up. But the problem is they get so out of sync so often. We got to get them in sync. So how do we get these things in sync? When they get out of order, we resonate with what Paul's saying. Something's gone deeply wrong within me. You know, it's funny that I was asked to help coach, I won't name names, but there's a guy I respect in here who's the AD of Salisbury Christian School. And so he asked me if I could help coach the middle school soccer boys team. And I was like, oh, what an honor. I don't want to. I don't have time for that. It would be so great. And so I said, why don't you ask JT? JT's our youth pastor. He knows soccer really good. Ask JT. And JT's like, oh, that's such an awesome opportunity. Don't know if I got time for that. And so we like came together. Lane is a part of our church. And we just linked up and we said, how about we be the assistant coach by committee? Live Church this season is the assistant coach of the middle boys Salisbury Christian School soccer team by committee. I got Wednesdays, he's got Tuesdays, Lane's got Thursdays, and we're like, oh, praise the Lord, I'll give you one day a week. It's awesome. Let me show you what happened the other day. Put that picture up there. We were trying to play a game, and when you're trying to play a game, you're just thinking about one thing, or at least the body is. And the coach, Dave Etling, he's the leader of Young Life, he says, I want to read a scripture to you, and he says this, Psalm 46:10. Don't put it up there, just leave this picture. Be still and know that I am God. And then he does this crazy exercise. He says, be still. You try to get a bunch of middle school boys ready to play a soccer game to be still. So they're all like standing here going, this has gotten weird. And know, he says, I want you to fix your eyes or your mind on God right now, that I am God. What did he just do? Be still, in other words, your body, shut down. Stop trying to call the shots. And know, your mind, you're going to understand who's in charge right now. Because when you're busy, you oftentimes think you're in charge. You oftentimes think you get to call the shots. You oftentimes think you get to make it up for yourself. So body, be still. Soul, know the truth, which is the Spirit of God whispering, I am God, and I am here with you. What does it mean to get it right? It means that the body and the soul has got to learn that the Spirit's in charge. And all the time, you and I will wrestle this. Doesn't matter if you love the Lord or if you're still here today and you go, Pastor Drew, I don't even know if I believe in all this. I'm just here because a friend wanted me to come. I believe God sent you on purpose at the right time for you to understand that I've wrestled with this for a long time. There's one who wants to call the shots. And the correct harmony is when the Spirit gets to tell the soul how the body's going to react We oftentimes get it so wrong. What's it look like? I'm going to real quickly go through this. What's it look like? Genesis 2 says this. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. This is the first Adam and Eve. This is the first people on earth. He says, you're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Let's break this down for a moment. Fleshly speaking, I'm saying, why? An apple's an apple. A banana's a banana. I see an orange, you tell me I can eat. I see an orange, you tell me I can't eat. Fleshly speaking, my eyes don't see a difference. Why? Can you relate with Adam and Eve? Why? And so my mind begins to say, why not? They look the same. I'm taking cues from my body. My stomach wants them the same. There's a desire inside of it for me. God created it and put it there. I may want it when I'm hungry. It might be most convenient and logical. This tree's closer. So the logic part of my mind is saying, makes no sense to walk over there when I can just pick from here. But this is what you need to understand, that faith is a decision to choose the Spirit of God and to choose God's way even when our soul and our body tell us otherwise. I wrote this and I hope you'll write it down. The fruit looked right and felt right, but it wasn't right. Do we realize righteousness can be that way too? God will say, do this, and you're like, but that don't make no sense. And that's not the way we do it in this century. And those are old school ways, and that doesn't work anymore, and people will laugh at me, and I don't know if that works, and this doesn't make any sense. This faith thing doesn't make sense. There's an apple. Here's an apple. Why can't I? We deal with this every single day. Why can't I? It's because there we have an enemy. He's called the devil, and he wants to slip into our gardens and begin to deceive us so that this harmony gets all out of whack. As long as in the beginning they just heard, I don't know why God said, so I'm going to leave it alone by faith. As long as the body and the mind go, doesn't make sense, but I ain't going to touch it. As long as that happens, heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. It's the moment that the enemy comes, and guess what the first question is? This is what the enemy says this. He says, he comes in and he asks a question. He says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Here's what's interesting. Satan engaged her brain first. Why? If I can get the soul to start thinking how irrational this sounds, then the soul will take ownership and it will overrule the spirit and say the body wants it. The body will chime in and goes, I'm hungry, let's eat. Doesn't look any different. And by the way, God must be holding out on my what? Mind. By trying to get me to follow the spirit. So the enemy comes to you and I and starts going, did God really say? Do you really have to withhold? Do you really have to give? Do you really have to? And he attacks the mind, because when you start thinking, you're not listening to the Spirit of God. Sometimes we just need to sit and wait. Oh God, this thought right now seems right, but your word says, let me be reminded of what your word says. And let me follow your word. Write your scripture upon my heart that I might not sin against you, because right now I'm wanting to do something different than what you've called me to. We've got a battle going on within, and this is the end result. As the band comes and joins me, here's the end result. We do have a disharmony going on with our body, our soul, and our spirit. This is the question Paul asks, can anyone save us from this? Now check this out. The message of Jesus is this. Jesus came as God with us. He put on flesh. He had a soul with feelings, thinking, emotions, but yet it says he always communed with God in his spirit. He said, I do not do anything without speaking with the Father. And so this is what happens. Whenever they put him on the cross to die for your sins and for my sins, here's what happens. Guess what happened? His body suffered. First, his body suffered. They beat him. Our hands sinned so often, so his hands were nailed and pierced. Our head sins, so his was crowned with thorns. Our feet lead us into sin, so his was pierced. Our mouths sin, and so he suffered dryness in his mouth. His flesh suffered. But then his soul suffered as well. They offered him wine and myrrh to dull the pain. They said, we know this will intoxicate you and it will mentally take away the pain. This is a pain reliever. This is a drug. Why don't you take this wine and myrrh? And he refused it because he wanted his soul not to go to sleep, but for it to suffer, because he knows my soul suffers and your soul suffers too. And if I'm going to die for all of mankind, I'm going to die as a man who experiences everything that you've gone through, tempted in every way, crushed, but not destroyed. Come on. And so he says this, finally his spirit suffered. Never before had he ever been alone from God, he said. And yet on the cross, he said, Eli, Eli, Eli sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me for the first time? My spirit feels vacated. I almost feel like Adam in the garden. Where are you? Are you hiding? Am I hiding? This is what sin does to us. It causes sin, causes us to hide in shame and regret, and to try to cover ourselves up, because we know our soul and our flesh aren't what the Spirit wants it to be. Here's the good news of God. Jesus did all that so that your spirit, soul, and body can be made whole, so that you can walk blamelessly in every single way until you meet the day you meet Jesus Christ. That's the good news of the gospel. Would you just pray with me?